Thanks for being here. I'm glad to see you this morning. I'm glad everybody got here safe. Is anybody from Tennessee Tech in here? So, welcome. I'm glad you did the all-nighter. So, we're glad you're here. My name is Carol Stringfellow, and I'm with the CIA Tampa Ministry. And we are going to talk about being deeply secure today. Let's start with a prayer. Well, got some questions I'll ask you. Come on in. We're fixing to start. You know, I need to crowd. If it gets full back there, there's a few up here, so we may have to share a chair, maybe. Okay, guys, if you'd bow with me, please. Father God, we are so glad you are our Father and that you know us so well and that you take care of us so well. And we just ask that you bless our learning this weekend, that our minds be open and clear and receptive, and that we be courageous and willing to work on matters in our life that need improvement and just for our own joy as well as to give you glory, God. And so I just would ask that you would bless these words. May they bring you honor. And I pray this in your son's name. Amen. Okay, I think everybody in here probably got to take the survey last night. Are you in here because it's a girls' class, or are you in here because you are struggling with insecurity? Insecurity, okay. So you're finding out that you don't have an issue that is only yours, right? Can y'all hear me? Back there? Okay. A little bit better? I mean, okay. I'm just going to have to shout, so just raise your hand if I get low, okay? Security is a woman's deepest need. Do you know that? I know you feel it. I know you're looking for it, because I know a lot of you, and I know me. This morning, I got up, and I got into my makeup, and I forgot my concealer. And I wasn't ready for that because I thought, no. I'll feel much more secure if I have my concealer on. And I thought, what is wrong with that sentence, okay? Why is concealing my insecurity going to bring me security, okay? And I fear that that's where a lot of us travel in our pursuit of security, okay? We're trying to hide our biggest problem. Think about how you react when you are insecure. I know when I'm insecure, I start to panic. I start to manipulate. I start to blame. I sometimes will withdraw. All of these traits, and maybe you can relate to that same reaction when your insecurity button is pushed, okay? All of us have a reaction to it. And so what we want to do today is look at successful ways to obtain security, okay? Ways that we're going to find it instead of just keep on cycling. Because I know that when I get into those modes, when I get into blame and panic and manipulation, I'm not pretty. Ladies are just going to have to scrunch together. So, I don't know, y'all get cozy. Or you can sit on the floor. Thanks. But come on in. Can you relate to this picture? What's wrong with that? Insecurity guard, okay? And I think that's where so many of us live, I fear, is that we are looking for something, but we are already convinced that we're no good at it. that we don't even know how to find it. Okay? In Matthew 9:36, it says about Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." How many of you love being harassed and helpless? Raise your hand. But do you realize when all we do is exhibit our insecurities over and over and over, we are harassed and helpless people. And Jesus has called us to something better. And if you know that you are living in this kind of a cycle, then Jesus has brought you something better. And guess what? When the Christian community in this world becomes the people who are not harassed and helpless, we're going to become very attractive. Does that appeal to you? Think about not panicking. Think about not manipulating. Think about not blaming. That is an attractive person. Think of someone in your life who you consider to be secure. Obviously, they're not going to be perfect at it, but clearly we've all met people, we know people, we work with people who, in our perception, are secure. What are their characteristics? Help me out. What is it that you know about them? What are some words that define their life? You can talk.
Confident.
Confident?
Bold.
Bold? What else?
Driven.
Driven?
Outgoing.
Purposeful.
Honest.
Consistent.
Fearless.
You like that, don't you? You admire these people, don't you? And you think of them as secure. That can be you. That can be you. All right. Look at these questions. Can you complete these sentences? You put your word. You're not going to have to tell. So you can be as personal as you can be. Put the blank in those sentences. My life would be secure if. When blank happens, my insecurities are triggered. What are those words for you? What are those words for you? You know, we talked last night. If we don't address what it is we are struggling with, then we're never going to get on that journey to finding out how to make it better. And so this isn't to make you feel bad, okay? This isn't to defeat you. This is for you to identify, oh boy, this is where I struggle. How am I going to solve, okay? You don't have to tell me, but how many of you put a man and sentence number one? How many of you put a baby? How many of you put a marriage? How many of you put a job? How many of you put a degree? Think about what you just put in that sentence, okay? And what did you put in the second one? When, what happens? What is it that undoes you? Understand what that is. Examine it. This past fall, my husband and I, Lynn and I, went on a trip to Tennessee, to Cookeville. And that was the first time we'd been up there. And we were getting to get away and looking forward to it and everything. And our son had just bought a Magellan, the GPS thing. And, you know, my first time. And I just took it. I didn't look it over before I went. I just took it with me. And so on the trip, I'm like a kid with a new toy. I am just like punching in all the buttons, trying to figure out how it works, all that it'll do. Well, if you've ever gone on a road trip with Lynn, which some of you in this room have, you know that he'll ask you for instructions, but he doesn't always listen or agree to them. And a lot of the time, it's because it's coming from a female voice. And that's not to disparage him, but yet he'll always examine it again. And I've always been his navigator, so I'm very used to this. But now we have the Magellan. And the Magellan has a female instructor. And so it was quite comical for me. I was having a blast because when he would do what she said, you know, you get the little affirmation, ding, ding, you know, and it's like, oh, look, we did it right, you know, and off we go. And he just kept on working with this. I thought, wow, this is interesting. Well, then as we got further and further, we got a little more confident in our trip. And so she began giving us instruction. And you go, really? Really? And so we began, you know, well, okay, I guess, you know, she wants us to go this way, but, you know, I think this way might be shorter. And we would begin exploring these little sidebars. Well, when we would take these little sidebars of our own, the lovely lady would come on and say, you have missed your turn. When possible, please make a legal U-turn. And so we'd go, uh-oh. You know, and then we would drive a little further. She would try to get us back to our original point, and we would keep on going our own way. And again, she would say, you have missed your turn. When possible, please make a legal U-turn. And clearly we made it to Cookeville, and clearly we made it back to Tampa. But what I discovered on that trip is our reaction to that kind of advice. Okay? We were getting directions in a whole new way. This was not our pattern. I will confess that we did have the paper map in the back seat as a fallback, but yet it was our goal to see what this lady could do for us, okay? So we were listening to directions in a new way. We weren't totally convinced she knew what she was talking about. I got to tell you. I mean, there were times that we were going on roads that we had been on before, and we were like, we don't need to go that way. So we began arguing and defying her own, you know, these instructions that were supposed to lead us to our destination. The GPS was not broken. It was not ignorant. We just didn't agree with it. And so we just kept on mapping out our own method of getting to our destination. And I think that's what we've learned to do with security. I think that we have decided, oh, this is the way I need to go. Oh, this is the way I need to go. And God keeps saying to us, you have missed your turn. When possible, please make a legal U-turn. And so we continue on this defiant path of trying to find security on our own power. So what we want to do today is we want to start looking at security according to Jesus, because I think we'll all agree he was deeply secure. I think if you know him at all, you understand that this man had what it took. He was confident, honest, bold, courageous, all the things that you just said. All right? And so we need to listen to him. And one of the first things we're going to look at is that Jesus was deeply secure in his relationship with his Father. Okay? In Matthew 3, this is such a beautiful picture. I don't want you to miss it. Okay? This is Jesus' baptism. And he has come to fulfill his righteousness and come to John the Baptist. And at the moment that he has come up out of the water, here's what everyone hears. A voice from the cloud says, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Sorry, I'm going to the next one. How many of you would love to hear that from your parent or from your husband or from your anyone, friend? Oh, this is my friend. I love her. She makes me so proud. This is what Jesus' Father was saying to him. What a beautiful picture. And that produced insecurity in Jesus. No. It produced security. It produced security because he was deeply secure in that relationship. Again, at the Transfiguration, Again, the Father's voice is heard, and His words are, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." And now He adds, "Listen to Him." Please, please, listen to Him. How many of you would love for your friend, your dearest, the dearest person to you, to say about you, "Listen to her. She's walked a walk. She knows what she's talking about." It breeds security, and this was the relationship that Jesus had with His Father, okay? John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." Together. They were together. They did not doubt each other's devotion to each other. They were secure. So how do we relate to that kind of security? Well, we're going to have to start at the same place Jesus started. We're going to have to listen to the relationship that your Heavenly Father has with you. Okay? 1 John 3:1. And I know these are familiar verses that probably most of you have heard before many times. But they've got to start landing in our hearts. They've got to start taking meaning. 1 John 3:1. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." God Almighty, your Heavenly Father, is calling you His child. You don't claim a child that you don't want to own. That the parent-child relationship means bond. And God Almighty is calling you His child. Does that make you secure? "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know," do you know? "But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Do you struggle with this voice? Jesus didn't struggle with it. He didn't go, "Oh, really, Father? Really? I mean, no, maybe I'm not, you know, quite that great." Or, you know, "Really, do you mean that?" No. He accepted it. He accepted the knowledge of who His Father was and how His Father felt about Him, and He was different because of it. And you can be too, but you're going to have to trust that voice. Okay. Second, Jesus was deeply secure in His mission. John 3:16. You already know it. This is familiar to you. But listen to what it says. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Jesus knew His mission. He knew He came to save. He was secure in that. He didn't have a problem with that. He did not argue with God about what He ought to come and do. He knew His mission, and He was secure in it. Look at Philippians 2, talking about Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He did not defy His mission. He did not debate His mission. He went right into it securely. Securely. Hebrews 12, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." He knew what He was in for. Enduring the cross. That wasn't roses. That was not princess. It was hard. But He knew what He was going to do, and He was secure in that mission. how does that apply to us? How does that apply to us? Can we trust the mission that God has for us? Do we? Look at our security. Romans 1:16. This is Paul talking. I am not ashamed of the power of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Do you trust the power of God? Can you be secure in the gospel, in the saving grace of Jesus Christ? Do you have the ability to know that that will save you and save all who you share that with? Do you believe that? We have the ability to be secure in our mission. Look at Philippians 3:8. This is Paul again. Listen to how resolute he is. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, who, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Think about what you put in that sentence that, where we started a little bit ago. I would be secure if. Paul says, everything except Jesus Christ in that line, to me, is rubbish. Now, that does not mean a degree is rubbish in and of itself, and that jobs and marriages, and we bring glory to God in those things, but Jesus, our security is going to come from Jesus, and that must come first. And Paul had figured out what his mission was, and he was very, very secure in it. All that mattered to him was the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. Is that, does it matter to you? Should it matter to you? Jesus was deeply secure in his future. Matthew 26, he's standing before Pilate. Clearly a very scary time, okay? And he says, yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Jesus knew his future. He was secure in it. He had yet to go to the cross. He had yet for everything to fall into its perfect place, but yet he was secure in his future. Philippians 2:9. Continuation of where we were reading before. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that it is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He knew his future. He knew his future. He was secure in it. Even when we don't know it, we can have security in it because it's in God's hands. That's where the security comes from. Colossians 1 is the description of who Jesus Christ is. Just one after the other, after the other, after the other, of all the wonderful things that were to be accomplished in Jesus Christ. And 1:19 says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Jesus was secure in his future. How about us? Are we secure in our future? That's tough. I understand. I get it. None of us can, you know, we can't manipulate it. We cannot know it. But we can know Jesus Christ. And then we can trust our future in his hands. Who else do you want to entrust it to? Have you really thought about that? Who are you trusting your future in if it's not Jesus Christ? I hate to disappoint you, but you're going to get fooled because there's not anything secure but him. Philippians 3:12, Paul again. Not that I've already obtained all this. Okay? Not everything in my life is all put together. Go figure. Or has already been made perfect. I'm still a screw up. But my future is secure. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Are you convinced that God's GPS can get you to your destination? I mean, you know, intellectually we all go, But how are you living it out emotionally? How are you living it out spiritually? Are you confronting that difficulty? That sometimes I keep on gravitating back to what I see or know, have known. Paul says, forget what you knew. Put it behind you. Look ahead. Look ahead. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What do conquerors do? They win. They overcome. They get the prize. That's who a conqueror is. And Paul says, we are more than that. Wow. That means I'm a conqueror now. I'm a conqueror right now. I don't have to wait for the future to see it myself. I know it now. More than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul says. Are you convinced? What does that word mean? Do you know how to implement the word convincing in your life? I mean, we talked about, you know, the characteristics of a secure person. What's the characteristics of a convinced person? I'm thinking they're secure. I'm thinking that we like a convinced person. He says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. What did he leave out? You? No. What did he leave out? Nothing. There's nothing that, with your future in Jesus Christ's hands, is going to fail. And that's a realization that we are going to have to own, that we're going to have to take seriously in our life, unless we like being insecure. If you like being insecure, then okay. And as I say too much of the time, how's that working for you? Okay? It's not. I hope that's why you're here, because you're ready and you're tired of it, and you're ready to be different, and you're ready to be attractive and a light to the world. I think many of us fall into the trap of looking at Jesus' life and say, well, of course he was secure. He's Jesus. And so then we just like relegate us over in this category of not being able to do anything with our lives because, you know, we're not Jesus. Okay? Look at Hebrews 2:14. He says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. He is your enemy. He is the one who is feeding you the garbage that's perpetuating insecurity, okay? And Christ has, not will, Christ has destroyed him. And because of that, verse 15, we are free. Those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. That's you and me, and now we are free. Christ did not die on the cross. He did not pour his spirit into flesh and come live with us to show off his superhuman skills. That wasn't his reason, okay? He did not do this so that we would feel inadequate and powerless. You know, he's the only guy. He did it for you. He did it so that the very thing that he enjoys, he can give to you. You can enjoy a deep, secure relationship with the Almighty God. That is a privilege you do not want to scoff at, okay? You can know your mission because it's defined by God. And it will never run out of steam. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what your talents, how limited your talents are. I don't care how old you are. You will not run out of purpose in Jesus Christ. It will always be there no matter where you're going. And what you are doing right now today, having that life devoted to Him, He will not waste one moment of your life. You think, oh, I'm just in limbo. And Jesus is going, no, I know exactly where we're going. Do not miss this turn. I'll allow a legal U-turn if you do, but you don't have to. You can follow my voice. You can follow my voice. Okay, so there's security in its purest form. I mean, we're not going to talk about, relationships with guys and blah, 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 because that is just secondary. It is so secondary to what is going to make you secure. There is not a man alive on this earth intentionally that is meant to provide you pure security. Not that he's created to be a rat either. But that's not his purpose. His purpose is something else. Your security will come from Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? Okay? Where are we going to get the details, the roadmap to becoming secure? Because it can't just be a pep talk. It can't just be, rah, 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 let's be secure, go girls, okay? It's got to be more than that. You got to know what to do, okay? First of all, security is about giving, not getting. Hebrews 2, again, we just read about how Jesus, because of the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. And verse 3 says, consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I don't know about you, but when I get tired, that's when my insecurities start creeping in. Weary, okay? Tired, fatigued, discouraged. And Scripture says, consider Him. He did not run out of gas. And you depend on Him, and He will supply your fuel. Okay? So He's calling us to give. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. All. Not degree over here and church work over here. Not Christian friends here and secular friends here. He's saying, everything you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Okay? Give. Commit everything that your life is a part of. Your family life, your friend life, your college life, your job life, your church life, which can be challenging. Do it all in the name of the Lord. Okay? Notice I did not say sacrifice is about giving, not getting. Don't miss this. We're all encouraged to give all the time. We get that message a lot. I'm telling you, your security will be found in giving. Are you willing to test that? Are you willing to say, okay, I will give and I will become more secure? Can you make that connection, that association? Because that is what God has told us. So as you give your life, your time, your energy, everything, you are on the road to security. How great is that to know when you're on the verge of exhaustion? Okay? How great is that to know, okay, I am working on something even bigger than me. Security. Remember in the beginning we talked about how beautiful a secure person is, how attractive, how we admire that person. You want to be on the road to security, and it will begin by you giving. Okay? Giving. Find places. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Security is about risking, not running. How many of you associate security with hunkering down? Getting to the safe place, sheltering in place, okay? Not going to find it. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. That's where you'll find security. Philippians 1:12, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Whoa, Paul was in prison, a death prison. This was not what we would call a secure place in our, you know, intellectual, natural self. Risky, very risky, okay? And he understood that he was secure. And that because of his security, people were taking notice. Not only were the guards, the Roman guards, the pagan Roman guards taking notice, but our own church, his own church body, were beginning to speak up because they thought, Paul can do it, I can do it. And they became courageous. They were not scaredy cats. They were willing to risk, and they found security. They found security there. 2 Corinthians 12:10, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. How many of you signed up for those? That's quite a little list. Weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, difficulty. Risk. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Security in risking. How often do we associate being dangerous with security? Are we secure enough people of God? Women of God, who security is our deepest need, okay? That we are secure enough to storm the gates of hell. Are you that secure? Can you be? According to God, you can. Will you trust that voice? Will you listen to those directions? Last, security is about making known, not being known. How many of us would think, if I was just popular, if someone just liked me, if I was, you know, all that, then I would be secure. Otherwise, I'm a wreck. That's not where true security is. Colossians 1:28 says, we proclaim him. It does not say we proclaim us. Okay? It says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all... whose energy? His energy. Struggling with all his energy. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Those are sweet words. Sweet words. Kind of like back in the beginning where we talked about how God said, this is my son, okay? I'm well pleased. Look at what God is calling you. Special. Special. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Security will be found in making known. So often we You know, we run through our head, if I was just this, if I was just that, if I was just skinny, if I was just gorgeous, if I was just taken, pursued. What if we were saying, if Christ was just? What if that was the sentence that was the most important thing in our mind? If Christ was just. What if Christ was just believed? What would this world be like? What if Christ was just worshipped? What would this world be like? What if he was honored? What if he was trusted? You know what? You don't have to wait on anybody but you to finish that sentence. You get to do that right now. Go. You get to believe right now. You get to worship right now. You get to trust. You get to honor. You don't have to wait on somebody to call you, say, hey. God's already done it. And he's asking you to join him. I think that makes me feel secure. That makes me feel secure to know that everything is in place. I would like for all of you, because we're such a large group, I would like for you to kind of break up into smaller groups, however you can work it in this room, whether it be 7, 10, 3, I don't care. But I'd like for you to take the rest of the time and talk about these last three points that I have brought up. About giving. About, what was my second point? About risking. And about making known. Find out how much you have in common, but also find out, how are you going to do this? Okay? How are we going to become women who will embrace these instructions, trust these instructions, and believe that we will become secure women, beautiful, secure women who will be attractive in this world, beautiful than you ever imagined yourself being, I promise, with full purpose and full security. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. I know y'all are packed in here, but if you can just take, we have about 10 minutes most, which I know is not very long. So, however you can do that, just take a little bit of time to talk.